This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director, Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Charges today were dismissed against two members of the so-called Broadview Six. This case is tied to a protest at an immigration processing center last year during the height of Operation Midway Blitz. Defendants include public officials and political candidates, including congressional hopeful Kat Abagazale. The Sun-Times reports the remaining four defendants, including Abagazale, filed a motion today seeking records showing any improper influence that has been placed on federal prosecutors by the Trump administration or its allies. Six Republican candidates are making their final cases to replace Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin in Tuesday's primary. Casey Klebeck is a former IT professional and an immigrant from Poland. And in an appearance on our In the Loop program, Klebeck told host Sasha Ann Simons, President Trump has not made a case for a war with Iran.
Absolutely not. War should have never started. And actually, it was ample evidence that Iranians were ready and to a peace deal.
Klebeck faces former Illinois GOP Chair Don Tracy, also Jeanne Evans, Pamela Denise Long, and a pair of perennial candidates, Jimmy Lee Tillman II and Carrie Caparelli. Illinois lawmakers are working on a measure to make the advertising you see on streaming services quieter. My colleague Alex Degman reports commercials on broadcast and cable TV have had volume requirements since 2012. That's when something called the CALM Act took effect. It says advertising cannot be louder than the programming, but those rules don't even apply to YouTube, Hulu, or other streaming services. Democratic State Senator Mike Halpin of Rock Island is a sponsor and says this should be a nationwide effort.
My personal belief is that I think Congress should act and make sure that this is law in all 50 states, but we need to do our part when Congress doesn't act. And so that's why I'm proud to be here, to make sure that Illinois is a state that protects consumers in this way.
If it does pass, the measure would take effect in July of next year. The measure now moves to the full Senate for consideration. And Chicago's Joffrey Ballet is kicking off its annual Winning Works Showcase this weekend. This is a collection of pieces by up-and-coming choreographers from diverse backgrounds. My colleague Courtney Kippers reports of the five choreographers in this year's class, a record-setting three are women. This is notable in an art form still dominated by men. Suzanne Lopez is curating the show.
I'm super proud of that. That's something near and dear to my heart.
Now in its 16th year, the program puts emerging dance makers on a big stage.
There are a lot of voices out there. There are a lot of people that want an opportunity to create. And we want to highlight people that may have more challenges facing them to get that opportunity.
Performances run through March 22nd. You're listening to The Rundown. And we're winding up our look at some key races in Tuesday's Illinois primary. Today, we're talking about Illinois' second congressional district. Democratic voters in the second have 10 candidates to choose from in the primary race to replace Illinois U.S. Representative Robin Kelly. Now there is a stalwart progressive, a big money-backed Democrat, and a legacy name hoping to make a political comeback after spending a stint in prison. My colleague Mariah Wolfel gives us a rundown of the race in the district that runs from Chicago's southeast side all the way down to Kankakee.
That legacy name eyeing his political comeback is Jesse Jackson Jr., the son of the late civil rights icon whose story has become a big theme in the 2nd District race. Jackson Jr. represented the 2nd District for nearly two decades before a shocking fall from grace in 2013. He was sentenced to 30 months in prison for using $750,000 in campaign cash to buy luxury items like a Rolex watch. But Jackson was charting his redemption arc even then. Here he is speaking to reporters after his sentencing.
I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption. Today I manned up and tried to accept responsibility for the errors of my ways, and I still believe in the resurrection.
Jackson hopes that resurrection comes on March 17th. On the campaign trail today, he doesn't shy away from his past.
I accept the responsibility for my actions and my activity. And so I almost always lead with it when I speak with constituents. For example, I ask large crowds and even small crowds, how many of you know someone who's been in the criminal justice system? Everyone raises their hands.
Jackson thinks his history makes him more relatable to voters in the 2nd District, many of whom have been affected by the prison system. But Jackson's opponents are calling that appeal phony.
I think it's a ridiculous statement.
State Senator Willie Preston is a former janitor and was first elected to the state Senate in 2022. He has stood out for his aggressive political attacks in this race.
Because what it is just another political scheme to say all of a sudden, I'm like you. No, you're not like most people. And it's just a fact. And which is why most of his campaign is about his father's legacy. A great man who I love and respect, the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Another frontrunner is Preston's colleague, fellow state senator Robert Peters, a former community organizer and the progressive in the race.
The vision I have is like, we not only defeat Trump, but Trumpism. How do we, in the richest, most powerful country in the history of the planet, make sure that people have health care, make sure people have secure housing, to make sure that people have the safety and dignity they deserve.
Peters, who is Jewish, is also outspoken about Palestinian rights. That has led him to go hard at fellow frontrunner Donna Miller. Miller has benefited from millions in funding linked to the pro-Israel group AIPAC, which has fallen out of favor with many Democrats for its hardline, unconditional support of Israel.
No, I have many individual donors, and that's what built the funding for my campaign.
Miller, a Cook County commissioner, is trying to shift focus away from those attacks and toward her record. She touts her role as the former board chair of Planned Parenthood of Illinois.
I stood up to every Trump person who was against pro-choice and not for women's reproductive rights. And I've been in that fight for decades, unlike all of my opponents.
Miller has lived in the 2nd District for decades, but so has Yumika Brown, a commissioner for the Chicago area's wastewater treatment agency.
Constituents of the 2nd Congressional District, they do not trust government. They believe that they have been left and they have been failed.
Brown believes she's the best person to bring constituent voices to Washington, but voters will make that choice next Tuesday, the day of Illinois' primary election. Whoever wins the Democratic primary will face the winner of the Republican primary in November, but is likely to soar to victory in the heavily blue district. Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ News.
The Illinois primary is Tuesday, and we have what you need to know before you head to the voting booth. You can learn about the races and candidates, and you can look up what's on your local ballot. Head to our website, wbez.org/voter guide. Today is sunny and blustery. We're reaching a high in the mid-40s, and then tonight, partly cloudy and windy, low in the low 30s. And for the weekend, cloudy and windy. You might see a little rain and snow throughout the weekend, a high of 40 on Saturday and 60 on Sunday. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Happy weekend. Thanks for listening.